Grobe Aerospace files for bankruptcy. An Eclipse supplier is told to expect production cuts. And the FAA warns Southwest to pay the fine or else. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 20th, 2008. Aero News has confirmed that the storied German plane maker Grobe Aerospace filed for insolvency Tuesday, citing delays in the development of its all-composite Grobe SPN very light jet. CEO Niall Ulver explained, quote, "This unfortunate situation has arisen as a consequence of recent delays in the SPN program, resulting in the increased requirement for cash to see the program through to certification. Under the circumstances, our current loan provider has elected to discontinue their support," unquote. Grobe has been exhibiting at industry trade shows for years and flew the first prototype SPN in 2005. Development progressed rapidly, but suffered a setback in November of 2006 when the company's second prototype crashed on a test flight, killing company pilot Gerard Guillemot. The company has since built two more prototypes, the latest of which made its first flight earlier this month. Grobe has also done contract work for other manufacturers, notably winning a contract to develop the all-composite airframe for Bombardier's upcoming Learjet 85. Grobe became well known in the 70s for its popular line of gliders. In recent years, the company expanded into the piston single segment with a G115 trainer and later variants, including the turboprop-powered G140TP. Niall said on Tuesday the company will continue its contract work through the insolvency and predicted Grobe will survive. Quote, "Given the significant support we have enjoyed to date, I remain confident that this disruption can be overcome," unquote. Eclipse Aviation recently told the press it would have nothing more to say about its plans for the future until it finished evaluating all aspects of its business, but parts of its plan are obviously being communicated to its suppliers. On Tuesday, Reuters reports composites supplier Albany International Corp. said its sales for the remainder of this year will take a significant hit due to cutbacks in production at Eclipse. Albany told its own investors Eclipse plans to cut production through the first half of 2009, but also told AEC to expect orders to sharply rebound after that. When Vern Rayburn founded the company back in 1998, a key part of Eclipse's strategy for profitability was volume production of as many as 4 planes per day. The company so far has done no better than about a quarter of that goal. So what will change to allow a sharp rebound in orders for composite supplies? We'll let you know as soon as there's word. Southwest Airlines was hit with a $10 million fine by the FAA earlier this year for missing fuselage fatigue inspections on its 737s. So far, that bill has not been paid. Now, the Associated Press reports the FAA is giving the airline till August 29th to write the check or face referral of the case to the U.S. Justice Department. Southwest has disputed the fine, but FAA Regional Counsel Lynette Word determined the fine is appropriate and said so in a letter sent August 12th to Southwest lawyer Dane Jacques. The airline tells Reuters it's reviewing its options. General Dynamics announced on Tuesday it has agreed to acquire Jet Aviation for about $2.25 billion in cash. The move is said to be aimed at strengthening the company's presence in the lucrative international business jet service market. Jet Aviation is based in Zurich, Switzerland, and is currently owned by Dreamliner Lux. Directors of both companies have already approved the deal, and regulatory approvals are expected by year's end. Jet Aviation was founded in 1967 and has become one of the world's leading business aviation services companies. Close to 5,600 employees serve clients at 25 airports throughout Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and North and South America. Services include maintenance, repair and overhaul, completions and refurbishments, engineering, fixed base operations, aircraft management, flight support, and global executive jet charter services, aircraft sales and acquisitions, and personnel services. Following the acquisition, Jet Aviation would become a new business unit within the General Dynamics Aerospace Group, operating under the names Jet Aviation and Midcoast Aviation. Up next on ANN, estimating airshow crowds is an inexact science. Do we still want to depend on Russia for launch services? And a couple in Germany survives a scary encounter with power lines. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 20th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Last weekend's 50th annual Chicago Air and Water Show drew a lot of people, but 3.1 million? The Chicago Tribune reports that official estimate from the city has eyes rolling, even in the air show industry, where inflated attendance figures are nothing new. The show, which has traditionally run 2 days, has drawn an average annual estimated attendance of 2 million in years past. This year, it was a half day longer. Nobody's buying the idea that the added half day resulted in another 1.1 million people through the turnstiles. By comparison, the city's world-renowned Taste of Chicago Festival drew 3.56 million people over 10 days. Cindy Gatziolis is a spokeswoman for the Mayor's Office of Special Events. She says aerial photos of the crowds were compared against mathematical formulas used by police to estimate known crowd levels in a number of areas. Those numbers are then increased to account for new arrivals who add to the crowd as others head home. Historically, the city's accuracy has been pretty erratic. Officials said over a million people attended the 1979 Papal Mass by Pope John Paul II in Grant Park, but months later, aerial photos showed the crowd to be somewhere between 65,000 and 350,000 people. In general, the science of estimating crowds is not really very good. Remember 1994's Million Man March in Washington, D.C.? Well, the National Park Service estimated only about 400,000 attended, but a later study by the Boston University Center for Remote Sensing estimated about 873,000, with a 15% margin of error. Though questions will likely linger, there are signs attendance at the Chicago event was up this year. Over 9,000 programs were sold, that's 3,000 more than past years, suggesting that the 50% increase in attendance cited by officials isn't implausible. Some souvenir stands ran out of products to sell by Saturday. Russia's recent behavior in Georgia is feeding additional concern among U.S. senators about NASA's plan to rely on Russian launch vehicles to service the International Space Station for 5 years after the U.S. space shuttle fleet retires in 2010. Among those senators are two vying to be our next president, John McCain and Barack Obama. Obama pledged on Sunday to find an additional $2 billion somewhere to fast-track development of NASA's Constellation capsule and rocket system that will replace the shuttle. In the interim, Obama said he would also support funding for at least one additional shuttle mission beyond the September 2010 fleet retirement target and to encourage alternatives from the private sector. Those plans mirror McCain's, and Reuters reports he made sure reporters in Florida knew it in comments on Monday, noting that Obama's latest statements are a flip from his earlier announcement that he'd cut funding for Constellation to spend that money elsewhere. McCain said, quote, "Sometimes it's difficult to know what a politician will actually do once in office because they say different things at different times to different people. This is a particular problem when a candidate has a short, thin record on the issues, as is the case of Senator Obama. Let me just say, in case Senator Obama does decide to return to his original plan of cutting NASA funding, I oppose such cuts," unquote. It's still not clear how long a gap will exist between the end of the shuttle flights and the beginning of Constellation missions, or where either candidate would find any extra budget for NASA. Firemen rescued a couple from a Europa light aircraft that became entangled in a high-voltage power line near Ulm, Germany this past weekend. London's Telegraph reports the 65-year-old pilot and his 63-year-old wife spent close to 3 hours hanging upside down in their aircraft on Sunday after the plane's right main gear snagged a power line as they approached to land at a nearby field. The plane was flipped onto its back 80 feet in the air. The leaking fuel, which quickly covered the couple, was of special concern, given the 380,000 volts of potential on the power lines. A helicopter rescue was rejected over concern the downwash might dislodge the plane and make it fall to the ground. Eventually, a 130-ton crane was trucked in to raise firemen up to the plane to cut the couple free. They were treated for shock at a nearby hospital, but otherwise were uninjured. The USDOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reports employment among U.S. scheduled airlines was up again in June this year compared to June last year. The 0.1% rise was the 17th consecutive increase, but BTS notes that that's the smallest year-to-year increase since a decrease in January 2007 and continues a trend of smaller and smaller increases this year. When July's numbers are released, they're expected to end the streak of increases, and then most major U.S. carriers have announced plans to cut capacity and employment in September. You can find more details from the report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, where have all the wide bodies gone? Planes, that is. Lockheed completes the first STOVL F-35. And Minnesotans are wimps when it comes to political discourse. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 20th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. If you enjoy the higher ceilings and additional bathrooms found on wide-body jets, you may have noticed a trend lately. They're being used less and less by U.S. airlines. A USA Today analysis of November schedules from the official airline guide indicates that airlines have scheduled wide-body jets on an average of only 143 flights per day for routes among airports in the 48 contiguous states. That's down about a third from a year ago. That's a much steeper decline than the roughly 10% drop in small and narrow-body jets. Many business travelers say they love flying on jumbos. They contain more premium seats than smaller jets, increasing opportunities for upgrades. They have more overhead bin space, and the twin aisles make it easier to walk to the bathrooms or just stretch your legs. Wide-body jets will account for less than 1% of domestic flights by this November, but there are ways to increase your chances of finding them. Delta and American fly the most wide-body planes with 65 and 54 flights per day respectively, so your odds go up on those airlines. The top three airports for wide-body service are Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta, LAX, and JFK. Industry experts say that while their fuel consumption will limit their use by the airlines, wide-body jets will continue to play a role in the system, especially on long-haul routes or those routes feeding international flights. Lockheed Martin says it has reached another milestone in the F-35 Lightning II fighter program, completion of the fourth aircraft, this one, a short takeoff vertical landing F-35B. The company says it has one F-35 in structural testing, two in flight test, six in final assembly, and another 14 in various stages of production. Dan Crowley, Lockheed Martin's executive VP and F-35 program general manager, sounds like a happy guy. Quote, "In just a few days, we will have all three Lightning II variants in final assembly when we take delivery of the first F-35C carrier variant center fuselage. From the very first F-35, assembly quality has been unprecedented, and each successive aircraft is measurably better than the one that preceded it," unquote. The just-completed STOVL variant was moved immediately to the flight line, where it will undergo an extensive battery of ground testing before its first flight early next year. The U.S. Marine Corps is expected to eventually operate about 340 F-35Bs. Political campaigns are noted for fervent messages and advertising. Northwest Airlines has used its clout in Minneapolis to get an anti-nuke ad pulled from the airport. The St. Paul Pioneer Press reported on Tuesday that Northwest asked Clear Channel Communications to pull a billboard at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport claiming that the ad urging Republican presidential candidate John McCain to support reductions of nuclear weapons was inflammatory. The message was put up to get the attention of Republicans arriving at the airport for the upcoming GOP convention in St. Paul. The ad went up in Concourse G last Friday, and here's what it says, quote, "When only one nuclear bomb could destroy a city like Minneapolis, we don't need 6,000. Senator McCain, it's time to get serious about reducing the nuclear threat," unquote. Northwest calls that ad scary, but also calls it petty. The airline also calls the ad anti-McClain and an attack ad that says nothing about the candidate. Clear Channel has sided with the airline and says it will pull the ad, apparently feeling that billboard ads are great as long as they're not too effective. It's no wonder Clear Channel is viewed with the same reverence by people working in media as airline management is viewed by pilots and flight attendants. Elliot Negin is a spokesman for the Union of Concerned Scientists. They're the ones who paid the $9,400 for that billboard. Quote, "To say that this is anti-McClain is ludicrous. We're calling on both candidates and their respective parties to address this. There's nothing offensive about the ads. They're not scary. It's just words in a photograph," unquote. He added that the group has a similar ad addressing Obama in place at Denver International Airport in time for next week's Democratic Party convention. I guess we're about to find out if Denver can stomach persuasive political debate. And finally, continuing on our advertising and airports theme, PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, sent a letter Monday to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport CEO Jeff Feagan, expressing empathy for the airline's financial difficulties and offering to buy advertising space for a provocative message. But PETA wants to put these ads on the inside walls of the airport's bathroom stalls. You know the beef industry slogan? Beef, it's what's for dinner? Well, the Dallas Morning News' airline biz blog reports that PETA wants to parody those ads by posting its own version next to toilets that say, "Beef, it's what's rotting in your colon." Tracy Ryman, an executive VP with PETA, says, quote, "Putting PETA's provocative ads in every airport restroom stall could generate revenue for the airport and save passengers and animals' lives," unquote. A spokesman for DFW said Monday the airport doesn't currently have advertising in its restrooms. You can read PETA's letter to Mr. Feagan in the text version of this story on our website. You know, if blank restroom stall walls are already a tempting place for vandals to place graffiti, what's going to happen when these babies go up? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Meg Waterman of Aloft Technologies to get an exhibitor's perspective on life at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.